My name is Mark. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at CCV, and I got to tell you, I have been dying to get to this message because Galatians chapter 5, that's where we're landing today. Galatians 5 is like, well, I would call it the Declaration of Independence of the Bible. Now, if you're just landing here with us, we have been in this study free for all for several weeks. We're just looking at the book of Galatians in the New Testament. And actually, it's not even really a book, it's a letter. Paul wrote this 6-chapter letter to a group of churches that he had planted. And after he left, some other pastors came in behind him. They were Jewish. And so they came to these non-Jewish Christians and they said, listen, it's good that you believe in Jesus. That's good. But Jesus alone is not enough. You have to have Jesus plus some Jewish rules and regulations, specifically circumcision. And Paul writes this letter, but he is fired up because Jesus is the one who saves you, not you yourself. So he writes this letter in response. And when we come to chapter 5, it has the feel to me like, well, you remember Braveheart, William Wallace in front of the troops? Freedom! It has that feel to me. Or maybe Martin Luther King Jr. on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Free at last, free at last. It has that same feel to me. And even with a distance of 2,000 years, you can still hear Paul's passion as he opens up this Declaration of Independence. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. A yoke of slavery. Some of you know why that's so important. Because somewhere along your life, somebody tried to impose upon you a yoke of slavery, rules that you had to follow that were not in the Bible. And one of the responses people have to that is just say, I'm out. I'm out. The yoke doesn't fit. I'm tired of what you're trying to do to me. I am out. And maybe you're coming back to church after a very long time because of the rules that someone tried to impose upon you. And you discovered, this is true, when you throw off a yoke, there's always another one that replaces it. You gotta serve somebody. That's a quote from a modern day prophet, Bob Dylan.
You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame.
Come on, Bob, tell him.
Maybe living in another country.
Here we go, listen now.
Under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Oh, preach it, Robert.
Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
That's just good music, man. Since we're talking about a yoke, I thought I would bring mine. This literally hangs in my office because I want to be reminded that I don't have a choice of whether I will serve somebody. I might serve myself, I might serve the devil, I might serve the Lord, but I will serve somebody. And if you notice a yoke, these things are made for two oxen. And you're going to be in one side, and there's always going to be someone else in the other side. You don't have a choice whether to wear a yoke, you just have a choice of who is in the other side. And so choose your yoke carefully. Because religious people, a lot of them, the yoke of the law feels right to them. Because they think when they put the law in the other side and they pull together, the law will make them look good. Following the rules will make them look good, and it never does. In fact, the only thing the law can ever do for you is to condemn you. And what we find is when we get yoked with the law pulls in the opposite direction from where we want to go. In fact, I want you to eavesdrop on the conversation Paul is having with the churches of Galatia. He says, behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. And again, I testify to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Oh, he fired up. Because he knows the devastation that a yoke of law can have on a person. And some of you know it well. You know what it feels like to have that finger wagging in your face. that head shaking, that glance glaring at you because you didn't measure up. And you felt the burden of the guilt and you felt the burden of shame, and that's why you opted out. Why is it that the law seems so intoxicating to so many religious people? Because we think that it's going to make us better. Now look, we're talking about the law, so why does Paul keep bringing up circumcision? Because circumcision for a Jew was the entrance into the law. Think of it, it is the portal through which you pass to become a Jew. Now, back in the day, the Jews were getting circumcised, but everyone around them, they thought it was a dumb idea. Romans, Greeks, Syrians, they all thought it was a bad idea. In fact, the Greeks, they worshiped their own bodies and some parts of their bodies more than others, you know what I mean? And so these Greeks would be attracted to Judaism as a philosophy. And they would go to rabbi and say, well, I really like what you teach, so how do I get in? The rabbi would say, well, be circumcised. And the Greeks would go, you want me to cut what? That just makes no sense. And in fact, the Jews were saying, this is a command God gave to us. It goes back to Abraham. 4,000 years ago, God told Abraham to circumcise. The word literally, it's two words, it literally means to cut around. That little outpatient surgery had huge implications because you were marking the man for who he would be, devoted to God all his life. And I know that there are atheists and agnostics say, well, you know, I don't believe in God, so God didn't give circumcision. Really? Then who thought it up? Because I promise you, it wasn't a group of guys sitting around a campfire playing truth or dare. If God didn't come up with it, I have no idea where it comes from. And it turns out that God was right. It took till the 20th century before we realized the medical benefits for circumcision, not just for males, but for their partners. But the Jews knew nothing about that. All they knew is that they were willing to do what others would not do for the glory of God. And what other people mocked them for, they took pride in. And boy, is that dangerous. I don't hear a lot of people taking pride in a circumcision today. Oh, yeah. But I do hear people taking pride in other things that are kind of at the same level. And when you start taking pride in what other people mock you for, you will almost always become judgmental of the other people. So, for example, I've heard people actually say this: I have never, never touched a drop of alcohol. Ooh. I have not missed church in 10 years. I've not missed church in 10 years. Goody for you. Why? I would never go to an R-rated movie. And they actually take pride in what others mock them for. Why are people so seduced by the law when all the law does is condemn them in the end? Because it's not just that you think the law will make you better. It's not just those who keep the law. It's those who keep the gates of the law. And there are religious teachers that actually preach to people that they need to keep the rules. Why? Not because the rules make them better, but because giving rules makes the keepers of the gate more powerful. And that's why Paul is so adamant with the Galatians. Verse 7, he says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. And you know it's true. There are people in every church, these gatekeepers, that try to impose a yoke of law on other people, often laws they won't even keep themselves. In fact, just this last week, I met a young man at our church. He's a new Christian. He just wants to honor the Lord. So he'll listen to anybody. He'll tell him how to get closer to God. And somebody took him aside and said, hey, I know you believe in Jesus, that's good, but you also need to keep these laws. You need to follow these rules. And he walked away feeling insecure. I was so upset. And look, I know some of you have good hearts and you're just trying to honor God, and someone comes along and they start piling on these rules for you. Don't fall for it. In fact, here are three quick tests of a false teacher in our midst. Number one, They will tell you things in private that you're not hearing in public. So if you're in a personal conversation or a small Bible study and they start saying things, adding on rules that you have to follow that you're not hearing from this corporate place, I would have a red flag go up. Second, they tend to make you more dependent on them than even on Jesus. Yet listen to me. I'll teach you the secret ways. Look, there are no secret ways. This is an open book and this is an open forum. Don't fall for it. The third thing, and this is most telling, is that when you walk away from that conversation, you feel less secure about your salvation. Anybody who's making you feel less secure than the grace of God, man, that's false teaching. Don't fall for it. I'm not even gonna hide it. I was mad, but I wasn't near as mad as Paul. I hesitate to share with you verse 12 because, well, it's like gloves off stuff. But here's what Paul says. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Now, that's a very specific word, mutilate. And Jesus used that word when he said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Look, it's a figure of speech. Don't take it literally, please. But it was literal when Peter was in the garden. You might remember, Judas Iscariot comes up and kisses Jesus, signal to the guards, this is the one to arrest. And these bruisers came and wrenched Jesus' hands behind his back. Peter, like he came uncorked. He grabbed a butcher's knife that was in his belt and took a pot shot at Malchus. Malchus, the slave of the high priest. Just, wah! Malchus, quick as a cat, ducked. And the blade glanced and just cut off his ear. The ear flipped three times, fell on the ground. Okay, the Bible doesn't say that, but you gotta admit it's much more interesting. So Jesus, this isn't a Bible. Jesus said, permit me this. He grabs the ear, blew in Malchus's ear, and stuck it back on like a Lego block. Now, if I'm a Roman soldier, I'm gonna let somebody else handcuff Jesus at that point. Because the dude's snapping body parts on, he could snap some off. It's the same word as we read in Galatians 5:12. That's why I really like the New International Version translation. I think this is accurate. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. That's in the Bible? See, Paul, and I don't know if he's like has this smirk on his face or if he just beat red from fury. But his argument is simple. You guys are bragging about, why don't you just go all the way and then you'd have something, really something to brag about. And some of you, man, that's your biography. Someone imposed a yoke on you and they tried to put rules on you that didn't fit. And so you walked away because you wanted to throw off the yoke of slavery. But you didn't realize that once you throw off one yoke, another one comes in its place. And it's the yoke of license. What I mean is you decided, I'm gonna do what I want, when I want, where I want, how I want. I'm gonna have license to live as I please. Only to find out that that's worse of a prison than the law. The chains of freedom, just license, will drag you down. And I'll just admit, I'm prone to that. I am by nature a maverick. I don't like rules. Well, actually, that's not true. I like rules. I think you should all keep them. But as for me, so this is probably TMI. I shouldn't share it with you, but it's too late now. There's a song in my playlist that every time it comes on, I sing out loud because it resonates with my nature. Not bragging, confessing. It is a 1977 Commodore song. The title is Easy. Why in the world would anybody put chains on me? I paid my dues to make it. Everybody wants me to be what they want me to be. I'm not happy when I try to fake it. You know the song? Here's the chorus, your chance to sing. It's come easy, easy like Sunday morning. Such a beautiful song. It's a terrible song. Do any of you actually know how the song begins? With this line. You know what sounds funny, but I just can't stand the pain. Girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow. That was such a sweet song. No, it's not. When you put on the yoke of license, you will, promise you, you will destroy every relationship that's important to you. And some of you have found that out the hard way. I'll never forget the time a woman followed me to a hotel room. This is a great way to start a story, isn't it? I'd preached at this church, and it was a small town. By the time I left the church, there's only like three cars in a parking lot. So I noticed that one was just idling, and when I pulled out, they pulled out. And I thought, are they following me? And so I went up the road and took a left towards my hotel, and the person took a left. And I thought, they're following me. So I gunned it in the hotel. I ripped around the back, and they whipped around the back, and I'm walking into my hotel room. And this woman gets out and said, I need to talk to you. I'm not in a hotel, you don't. But I could tell by just the fear in her voice. So we found a place that was public, but the people couldn't eavesdrop on her. Because this small town, they knew her business. But nobody knew what she confessed to me. She had a gambling addiction. Even her husband didn't know. He thought they had $75,000 in a 401k. She had cashed it in, and it was gone. There's a young man in our church that when he graduated from high school, he had a full ride scholarship to college. But he also got his inheritance, so he didn't need to pay for school, so he paid for parties. And you know how the story ends. Before long, the scholarship and the inheritance was gone. I look around at all our students going to camp, and I see these young boys and girls, and they get to an age where they prefer their friends to their parents. You get that? And so parents give them a cell phone, which I did the same thing. This is no accusation. But this combination of the cell phone and their friendships and social media becomes a prison that they thought was freedom. License does not liberate you. In fact, there is no one so enslaved as the one who gives free rein to their passions. And if I were a betting man, I would bet that many of you who left the church because of the yoke of the law have returned to church because of the yoke of license. It has enslaved you, and you're looking for a way out. And I think it's strange that so many people believe that the yoke of law and the yoke of license are opposite. But they are not. Paul gives this very clear warning in verse 13. You were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is summarized in one statement, in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law. And some of you tried that experiment. Just living your own life, doing your own thing, and you found out that the behaviors you thought would set you free actually imprisoned you. And Paul, he just ticks off a bunch of these behaviors. Maybe some of them are in your own biography. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, impurity, envy, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you're coming back to church saying, is there a different way? Is there a third path between the yoke of the law and the yoke of license? And the good news is, there absolutely is. It is the yoke of love. And some of you are just desperately looking for a way of living life where you're free to become the man or woman of God that you want to be. This yoke of love, where you get in one side, love is in the other, that love has a name. And his name is Jesus Christ. Listen, this is not my offer to you. This is his offer when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. how can that possibly be? This is a beast. Like, you, it's not light. And when you strap this on, you're plowing a field. How can it be light? Because for the first time, what is in the other side will be pulling for you and not against you. Now, some of you are just thinking, if that was at all possible, if that was like in my wildest dream, if that could be true, I would jump in the yoke right now. But I just don't know that it could be true. I want you to hear a testimony from a young man named Christian. Against all odds, and I mean against all odds, he put on the yoke of love, and he found out that Jesus was telling the truth. I want you to hear his testimony.
Sarah and I have been foster parents for 8 years. I think for us, it's like they didn't choose their beginning.
And everyone always says to us, I'm so glad you're doing it. I could never do it.
Yeah.
But I think if everyone said, I could never do it, then no one would be. We are that family that will just do it.
My name is Ryan Centers, and this is my wife, Sarah, and we have 6 kids, 4 adopted out of foster care. So after we were foster and adoptive parents for a season, and our house was filling up, mm-hmm. and we're like, we cannot have any more, like, kids in our own home. But we still very much felt called to the work. So we opened up a social service agency called Ohana. We wanted to make sure that if we can't have any more kids in our home, that these kids have a family. About 3 years ago, our family was full. Like, we had 5 kids in our house and we were very busy. And I got a call from a caseworker, and they had this kid who has been in foster care for, at that time, 6 years. I think at this point, probably 7 or 8 different homes. That's a lot of picking up your stuff. The caseworker said he didn't want a family, he just needed a place till he could age out. He really was just scared to get hurt again. And so he moved in to Ohana, and his name was Christian. And for some reason, him and I just really had a solid bond. And I remember there was this moment that happened. I remember sitting in his room in our group home, and he says, you know what, Ryan, I just want a dad who will teach me to drive and parents who will go watch my games. And I felt like the spirit in ways I have never felt before. I called Sarah and he said, we have to adopt Christian.
There wasn't really a hesitation. I mean, we knew it would be hard. So very normal things for us were triggering for him.
Yeah. There were moments that he was trying to bond and attach with us and me in particular, and it got too real. And he actually ran away. And that was hard. And that moment, hearing nothing from him for months and months and months. Like, it felt like a death. Fast forward, and around Christmas time.
It was like Christmas Day or the day after Christmas.
He says, hey, Dad, I just want to come home. I just want to come home. And he moved home and has been a different kid. A kid we prayed for.
I think going through so many different foster families, I kind of had an outlook on how foster families were. You know, I seen the worst, I seen the best, I seen, you know, on the edge of taking me and taking me out, like throwing me to another group home. I think with the Santa's family, it's more of like they wanted me. No matter what I was going through, no matter where I was at, no matter what situation I was in, they always said, you know, we love you. And I think for me, it's like that showed me a lot.
I think for us, like, this, God calls us to love. The Spirit is love. And we have to, like, start there. It's a big thing to love, and it takes a lot of time. And it's hard, and it's messy, but it's worth it. I have watched the other aspects of God's goodness and His Spirit come out. So I've watched Christian have peace in his life. when his whole life has been unrest and turmoil. And now he just gets to be a kid. That's only from God.
I think family means like loving each other no matter what someone does. I think loving is the main part of family.
Hey, Christian, I want to talk to just you for a second. Man, your family's bigger than you think. You have more brothers and sisters than you ever imagined because you are a native son of CCV. We welcome you as our own. And for the rest of the church, I want you to know, it didn't show up in the video, but Christian just got back from camp. And not high school camp, that's next week. He was at a fifth and sixth grade camp being a coach for boys, sharing the love that had been shared with him. And the Apostle Paul calls that the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Thus concludes Paul's declaration of independence, and thus begins ours. I want to show these in a chart for you, these nine fruits of the Spirit. But notice, it's not fruits nine, there's one fruit of the Spirit that has nine manifestations. It's not like a smorgasbord where you pick and choose which characteristic you want. All Christians are obligated to display all nine. But here's how it begins. These three characteristics, that's what you receive from God. And when God gives you love, joy, peace, only then are you able to offload love, joy, and peace to those around you. And once you receive God's love, joy, and peace, you can begin offering to others what even God, like it doesn't start with God, this starts with you, patience, goodness, kindness. And Ryan and Sarah, they lived here for a very long time. And if you really want to adopt all nine of these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, if you want all nine, you have to master patience. The word itself literally means to suffer long. And maybe you recognize that translation in some Bibles, long-suffering. And the fact of the matter is, the reason we have to be long-suffering is because others have suffered a long time. And what made Ryan and Sarah so powerful as adopted parents to Christian is because they were willing to suffer 1 minute longer than Christian had suffered. For some of you, this is your marriage right now. Your spouse brought some pain into the marriage, and you feel like, man, I'm suffering because of what they brought in. That's right. It's called patience. And until your patience exceeds their suffering, it won't be effective to build the fruit of the Spirit in your life. But once you receive from God and once you give to others, you will begin seeing in yourself a gentleness, a faithfulness, and a self-control. But you're never going to get here until you share this with others, because God has shared this with you. So where do we begin? I know it's just, all of it is the fruit of the Spirit, but I'm not good enough that I could do all nine at once with everybody. In fact, it's kind of taxed me this week to do one of these with one person. And that's my challenge to you. One fruit for one friend. One fruit, one friend. And you say, well, I don't know which of those characteristics I should like dive into. Well, just ask your friend, ask a spouse, ask a coworker, ask your kids. I promise you they have an opinion about where you should start. One fruit, one friend. And I want to give you a resource to help fertilize this fruit. You can tell by this message that I am deeply moved by music. So the release of our album, Light and Shadow, it means a lot to me, because music for me has been a way of fertilizing the fruit that God wants to put in my life. And just like we give you an app so that you can export the lessons from the message into your Monday morning meetings, that's helpful. We want you to be able to export the worship into your week as fertilizer for your fruit. So we're very happy. We have an incredible team of talented musicians and creative artists who write songs just for us because we're all sharing this journey together. I love that. And I would love for you to be able to pick up that album. You can download it wherever you download your music. I understand some of you, downloading music is like voodoo or witchcraft. You don't. So you have requested hard copies. They're available on every campus, and we would love for you to pick those up. We're going to conclude this series next week, Free for All. And then we're going to kick off in July a brand new series. This is it's going to be one of the easiest invites to your friends and neighbors. And look, I know in Phoenix, July is like our winter. We all stay inside. We're antisocial. But you might see a moving truck up the street because this is often when people move into town. Would you do them a favor and invite them to this series at the movies? And since it's an at the movie series, I thought we should probably watch a preview.
Bonjour.
Jimbo, Doug from CCV, how are you?
Oh, hey, man. I was just about to call you. That's so weird. I had your number dial, was about to press send. Did you block your number?
No. Hey, what are you doing, bro?
Oh, just hanging out in my apartment.
Okay, well, anyway, I've been trying to text you and get a hold of you, man.
You did get my text, right?
What? Text? What?
Yeah, man. Just trying to get a hold of you and let you know about our upcoming series called At the Movies. You're going to love it, dude. Can I count you in?
Oh, man, that sounds great. I wish I could join you. I'm just so jammed up. I'm totally off the grid, you know what I mean?
Jammed up? Yeah, I have a feeling you're not that jammed up. What do you got going on?
I got a bunch of stuff going on. There's this thing I got to do. Any other night would have been great. Darn it to heck!
Jimbo, you dodging me, man?
What? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about At the Movies. CCV, you're coming with me. That's that. All right, bro? Can I count on you?
All right.
And that's the way it's done. Let's go out and make Jesus famous.